The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday. It's still Thursday?
It's still Thursday.
Good. Thursday is the 11th of October.
12th.
It's the 12th?
Yeah.
What happened to the 11th?
You were working.
Yeah. Today is the 12th of October. So this is the day when Columbus saw Guanahani. And the black guy shouted out, land, Tierra, Tierra.
Oh, you mean when they were lost?
They were lost at sea, at the ocean.
And the Indians put some extra islands out. They just let some extra islands float out so they could find their way.
They helped the lost strangers who were overclothed and said, man, what's wrong with these people in this hot climate? They come with so much clothes and they give them food. Food and water. Yeah, today is October 12th. October 12th, and over 500 years ago, Columbus decided to pass this way, say he going to the Indies. And he saw some dark-skinned people, and he said, these must be Indians.
Okay, two things. It wasn't really a decision. He didn't decide. He was lost.
He was lost?
Yeah.
He had maps.
He thought he knew where he was going.
He had maps, too.
Yeah.
Plus, he had two Moors on the ship. One sailing the Nina, and one was on his ship.
That doesn't mean he knew where he was going. Yeah. The Moors may have known where they were going,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean Columbus knew where he was going.
And we need to investigate one of these days, who were the 90 men who were on the ship who were prisoners? Were they the Jews and the Arabs who were expelled or imprisoned when the King and Queen, Isabella and King Ferdinand of Castile.
Yeah.
When they...
Oh, you call them the Castiles?
Yeah,
Castiles. The Fergusons from Farm Road?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And the Castiles, them came and said, hey, we're getting rid of all of y'all.
Yeah.
We can lock y'all up. Were they there? Because you know them. They were part of the Moor group too. Anyway.
True. Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah, we got it.
Absolutely.
Showed our history.
Like 1492, when you say they saw these dark-skinned people and thought, okay, these are the Indians... 500, 600 years ago, a question of what the skin tone of Indians or the Indians they would have interacted with was like. Because we got some Indians in India that obviously just walked out of the most indigenous part of Africa.
But we have black Indians who have coarse, straight coarse hair. And the Columbus described these people who he came across as black persons who doesn't look like Guinea or who doesn't look like the Congo or the Gold Coast, but they were dark as them, but had straight coarse hair. So
what's straight coarse hair? It seemed to be like an oxymoron to me.
The Aborigines has straight coarse hair.
Okay.
The hair ain't like ours, but it's straight.
I know some Bahamians right now today who have straight coarse hair.
That's some mixed people.
Like Indian.
That's some mixed people though. They mix. They have Irish, Scottish, and African.
You think that's what that is?
Yeah, that's that Igbo blood.
You sure?
The Igbo blood and that Yoruba blood cause that.
Okay.
They're more like.
All right.
But anyway, today is Open Lying Thursday. And we have one or two things that we want to discuss with you. First of all, the first question today. First question to say is this. Who said this and what does it mean? I am who I always was. This was said recently by one of our leaders.
Okay, because I was going to say Frank Sinatra?
No. Okay. One of our Bahamian leaders was caught in the airport. An airport in Abaco. And he was interviewed there. One of those out of the blue type interviews.
On the spot.
On the spot report. And said, what you is nowadays? And he said, I am who I always was. I want to know who said that and what does it mean? That's our trivia question for today.
Okay.
Yes. But what we want to talk about today, Aaron, besides that.
Hold on. We'll be giving away for the trivia question. Are we going to give away one free ticket to the Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Grill and Chill fundraiser?
You have ticket?
I got a ticket, yeah.
Okay.
Entry is $5. I got a ticket today. I will, the person who get that correct, I buy in them a ticket.
Okay. If the entry fee is $5, right? I will, too, buy a ticket. And whoever wins get two tickets. Because I don't like giving away one thing, man. Even when you travel, you travel and pay.
That's because you have a wife.
Yeah.
By law, you are required to have two tickets.
Two tickets.
Yeah.
So I will give one ticket, and you will give one ticket to whoever answers that
question correctly.
This question correctly. Yeah. And we have someone on the line already, right? So let's patch that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? 1 minute for me, caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Aaron Cuz.
Morning, cousin. How you do?
I'm okay. The answer to your question, Mr. Neary.
Go ahead.
Is the great Right Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingraham.
That's who said that?
Oh, yes. That's who said that.
Now, the second part of the question is...
He was questioned by Mr. Silbert Mills, I think the same.
That's Kai. But Kai. I want to know, what does it mean?
Well, I'm assuming it means that he has always been, I'm assuming he's saying with the FNM, but I know he has always been PLP. I don't know if he went back home. I don't know if that's what he meant.
Yeah. I wonder if I like that question. I get you, I give her one ticket and let's see if the next person has a better answer. What do you think, Aaron?
Okay.
Okay. So leave your name with the producer. One ticket is yours.
Aaron knows who this is. She has
yes,
my information.
Has your information. And the one ticket to the Hannah Hasty Tynes Grill and Chill fundraiser is yours.
You duck me one ticket, but that's okay. I'll take it.
No, I can make sure. If this person doesn't answer nice, I'll be just fine. There'll be two inside there. Let's wait and see. Caller, call me back. I see the next caller hang up. Call me back. I want to hear your answer. Who said it? But thank you very much.
Oh, no, and what it meant.
And what it meant. What it meant. I am who I always was. So I want to know that. Okay? But go ahead, Aaron. What are we talking about today?
This is what's in the news.
What's in the news? I mean, Mr. Obadiah Wilscombe.
Yes.
Is being interred today. No, not really interred. They're having a funeralization. What do they call that? The state funeral.
He's lying in state today, right? Governor?
No, he's not having the state funeral. Then it goes to the tour. He's having the state funeral day. Because they all the limousines and stuff are passing by in Parliament now. In Rawson Square. And I assume they have in us. What it says there? Are you saying state funeral today?
All right. I'm looking. I just saw the one part of the article. We're going to find the rest of it right now. Wilscombe's funeral is set for today. In Nassau.
Yes. And from then, the body does a tour. And it goes to Bimini. Then it goes to Grand Bahama. That's where it's going to be interred. And interred means it's where you're buried, right?
Yeah.
So interred means buried.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's doing that.
Okay.
Right? Yesterday, they had a rush out for him.
Yes.
Right? And very well attended by the Jokudu community.
Yeah.
And they recognized him basically because he was the leader or the minister of tourism when Jokudu in June. It's now Jokudu in July, I think it's called now.
It's still called Jokudu in June, but it's held in July.
Jokudu in June that is held in July.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was at the helm when that happened, so they recognized him for that and celebrated him for that. But it's Justin and Julie form. So that is what's happening today. It's on all channels today, so you could go and tune in. The government has gone all out to make sure he is funeralized properly. So it's something to see. It's something to see, something to experience. Should be some interesting speeches that be done today.
I don't like that turn of phrase.
Which one?
That they're going all out to make sure he's funeralized properly.
They went all out.
No. There's a standard, and the government must meet the standard.
They can't go beyond the standard?
Not for one particular person.
He's a member of parliament, a minister who died.
Right, there's a standard for that, right? Yeah. For any member of parliament, any person holding an official position, there's a standard. They don't have to go all out for it. They must treat everyone equally and equitably. We expect them to hit the standard.
I expect a big spectacular event, whatever it is.
Oh, sorry, my bad. You talk in politics and I talk in governance.
Yes, okay.
My bad, we get confused. We get confused.
We have another caller there. Producer, patch the caller there for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Miss Green, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, sir.
I don't know what's happening every time I try to call into Guardian. I can't hear your volume very hard on, very loud on this end.
I believe it's a lake. That pond where you live
is blocked some signals at times.
And Bahamians, I tried to call you earlier, Ms. Green, but it looked like you were not answering any calls, but you had the last guest on. But I just wanted to say a big shout-out to the Bahamian people last night.
Mm-hmm.
From what I saw over the WhatsApp and TV and everything, in regards to the Going Away celebration, cultural celebration for our good friend Obi Wilscombe. Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green, I've been around for a while. I've seen parliamentarians, Bahamian heroes, from Pendleton down. Mm-hmm. There must have been something different in the air with Obi Wilscombe last evening. When I saw the droves of people that pulled up on Bay Street to do that cultural junkanoo rush out for Obi,
mm-hmm.
and all you could hear last night was Obi, 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 Obi. I have never seen anybody in the Bahamas that you could remember celebrated on Bay Street like that before. And then to turn out again this morning to watch the funeral procession from the House of Assembly, Christ Church Cathedral, again.
I remember Sir Lyndon had a big funeral like that too. I mean, everyone turned out. Everyone turned out to Sir Lyndon's funeral and was shouting out Sir Lyndon.
A funeral from the House of Assembly and the big chamber church on East Street.
I just talked about the junkanoo parade.
I'm talking about the rush out last evening.
Yes.
I've never seen it like that before, the night before a funeral on Bay Street.
And I was saying, I was comparing it to Lyndon's rush out, just as big.
Well, I'd just like to say congratulations to the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call a cultural send-off for Bahamian. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Sparky.
Yes. And I just want to say that it was spectacular yesterday. I know when Maynard, the chairman of the FNM, went, because he was a minister of culture, there was a big rush out.
Yeah.
I mean, people in droves. Everyone in culture just came out. I know Sir Lyndon, when he transitioned, there was a big rush out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone in the Bahamas came out in droves. And I'm not comparing it, I'm just trying to make sure people know that that we tend to turn out when our leaders and significant persons transition. That's what I mentioned for him. But this is what I want to speak about today. It's what's topical and what's in the news. Start off with the Chinese. The minister, where's that gone? Minister Boleg. And the headline got me confused, actually, Aaron. The headline says, Boleg, repair of stadium, likely Chinese government funded. And I wanted to understand, what does likely Chinese government funded mean? Either it's going to be funded by the Chinese government, or it's not going to be funded by the Chinese government, or don't mention it. But you can't say likely, because it leaves me now wondering, I wonder if. And when you say funded, what does it mean? Because I know we're borrowing some money towards it. Are they going to fund the majority, lion's share of it? And when you mean funded, because I find from the previous part, when the Chinese finance project, they don't give you no money in hand.
Mm-hmm.
They fund it by giving you materials, whatever $1 million worth of materials, one. And they fund it by labor, whatever $1 million in labor. They give you. So when you see likely to be funded, and I wonder what exactly does the minister mean by that?
Well, let's read from the article to see if we could get a better sense, because this is a moment that's ripe for speculation. Youth, Sports and Culture Minister Mario Boleg said the Chinese government would likely fund all Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium repairs and employ Chinese workers to do the work. He could not confirm how many Bahamians will be involved, saying the government is pushing heavily for their involvement. Quote, well, the whole idea was to have the Chinese technical people and assigned contractor to work along with a Bahamian contractor and our technical people and subcontractor. But at the same time, of course, the Chinese had said they wanted to have some employees of their own, he said yesterday. At this time, I cannot say what number of persons that will be, but we are pushing heavily towards ensuring that Bahamians are involved in the repairs.
See, just me, and I'm not as smart as the minister, right? I would not have made the announcement until I know, until the negotiations have been completed and say, hey, we have negotiated and we have concluded that there'll be 30, 100 Chinese workers coming here to the Bahamas to work. So you're giving me information to digest. Not likely. Not what's likely to happen.
I am... That's a very important intervention there. What concerned me is this language. But we are pushing heavily towards ensuring that Bahamians are involved in the repairs. First of all, you are the Bahamian government. Why are you? Who are you lobbying against? Who are you pushing against? Who do you have to fight to ensure that Bahamian workers are involved in a project in the Bahamas? Who are you pushing against for that?
And I hear what you're trying to say. You're saying that we should know the total number of labor needed for a project. And we should know and determine from beyond hand that 60%, 80% is going to be Bahamian. Or you can't come.
That's not what I was saying, but I'll take it.
Go ahead.
What I was saying was, why can't the Bahamian government say Bahamian workers will be working on this project? Why can't the Bahamian government say 100% Bahamian, 80% Bahamian, 60% Bahamian? Why they can't say that?
It's you know when people say we always negotiate from a point of weakness?
Yeah.
It seems like one of those things. But I'll ask you this. Remember that we are preparing for the track and field event that's going to happen in that stadium, that space. We have already started whatever repairs should be happening, supposedly, right?
Right.
But the articles say that the Chinese government is planning to pay all. Did it say all or part? Because I remember just reading it, and the word all jumped out at me, and I'm not sure if I heard that.
Let's go back to the quote from the Minister Boleg, Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Quote, well, the whole idea was to have the Chinese technical people and assigned contractor to work along with the Bahamian contractor and our technical people and subcontractor. But at the same time, of course, the Chinese have said they wanted to have some employees of their own. At this time, I cannot say what number of persons that will be, but we are pushing heavily towards ensuring that Bahamians are involved in the repairs. The government had pledged $10 million to repair the stadium and the Betty Kelly Canning National Swim Complex. Given the Chinese involvement, Mr. Boleg said he does not know how much the repairs will now cost. Surely, the Chinese involvement means that the price will drop.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to be bringing support.
Mm-hmm.
So surely the price the Bahamas government paying, that price should drop. So you should at least be able to tell us, like, it could drop. I just don't know by how much. But that's not what he said.
But we remember in a previous article, he said that it may cost more. We're starting the construction.
Mm-hmm.
That it will not be entirely finished by time as the
event that it's being repaired for actually starts.
And more like it will cost more. So I assume that the $10 million, just the initial construction, and the Chinese will cover the rest.
Well, let me continue reading. Continuing the quotation from the minister, I don't know what's the true value of the repairs right now, but they have their technical team on the ground with the technical team from the Ministry of Works who are finalizing the scope of work we will be undertaking. I just want to know, is this an old interview? Like, is this an interview from 4 months ago?
Mind you, the stadium needed repair about 5-10 years ago. Right, mm-hmm. And I see the caller right coming to you right next, right? We had an estimate from then. In fact, we had 2-3 different estimates from then. So the idea that he has no clue how much it costs, not even say, well, it was estimated to cost this amount in this year. However, whatever over the previous year, through the years, it may cost more. But just, you know, doesn't know any new information.
This sounds very baseball stadium-ish.
It can be big. Let's go to the caller. Producer Pastor Caller through. Go ahead, Caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Jay. Good morning. You know, the golden rule is what, CA? What is the golden rule?
Don't ask a question.
The golden rule is he who has the goal
makes the rules.
Makes the rules.
it is quite obvious. It said that the by whom?
The people who built it?
By the Chinese. Isn't that what is in the papers that they read government?
Well, sir, this article in today's Tribune does not provide sufficient clarity for me to say. And I don't know if it's because the article was written poorly or if the minister was not prepared, like Mr. Newry said, suggested, like Mr. Newry suggested, or I inferred from his commentary that the minister was not prepared to speak to this matter.
Oh. And I thought I saw what it says, that repair of stadium likely Chinese government funded. That's what is in the Tribune today. So if that is the case...
Now, mind you, that's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
The headline says, repair of stadium likely Chinese government funded. I don't see that quote, though, in this article. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, he who has the gold makes the rules. So that, you know, the Chinese are not going to give the money unless they bring in their workers. That's how the original stadium was built, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And clearly $10 million is not enough.
No, well, I mean...
For what? But we don't even know that.
Yeah.
Like the minister said, I want to know, how did they give out the initial figure if the minister is in this article saying...
I think that the $10 million was what the Bahamian government was putting into it in order to get it for the IAAAF, relays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other events that were coming up early next year. So I think that's what the $10 million is for.
Right. Let me.
I don't think that covers the overall repairs to the stadium.
I just wonder the swimming complex finishing time, because we know we are hosting Carifta next year.
Yeah, but I think Aaron that I think in an earlier statement he did say that the government had budgeted had appropriated X amount of dollars.
$10 million
for the repairs to the swimming complex, as well as I think part of the stadium in order to get it ready for the relays next year. But not to the, I don't think it's that include the overall construction cost. Now that is my interpretation of it.
Absolutely. I'll read the quotation from the article that you referenced, sir. Quote, that's what the $10 million was allocated for, he said. Boleg said officials are preparing the stadium to host the next World Athletics, World Relays, and Carifta events. That's what the $10 million was allocated for. However, the Chinese government is going to be covering it, so the Bahamas may not use any of its $10 million, and the Chinese government may end up funding the entire repairs, which is what most likely will happen. I just want to say maybe we need to put the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture on vacation. Y'all go and take a month and a half break, like the House of Assembly, and come back to us when you're not sounding so baseball stadium-ish. When you're not sounding like this could overrun 10 times its original cost.
It more likely will be more than $10 million, right? And but we see we have a loophole. A loophole is a bad word to use. It seems as if, or it's being suggested that the Chinese government will fund the entire thing. So we have an extra $10 million. Are we going to return that $10 million, or are we going to use it, keep it, since we already borrowed it, and use it for something else?
What do you mean we already borrowed it and told the people what the purpose was for, and then come back around? Like my Grammy used to say, if the thing requires this much, maybe you don't need the thing. Maybe we just don't need baseball anymore. It's reached that level. I cannot imagine that the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture decided to say this as opposed to saying no comment. He could have said, you know, we're still working with the beige computers in our office and I hadn't had time to prepare my statement. He could have said anything but this. Because to say this in the face of in the face of the prior experience, the Chinese built the old stadium. The old stadium is not a good stadium. Is the question, was the stadium not built properly? Was it not maintained properly? Why are we letting, the stadium was built in 2011. It's only been 12 years. How much money could be required to fix this stadium?
Let me interrogate that, Aaron. Let's say the Chinese was built properly. Let's say the Chinese used the best equipment and iron and whatever else, materials.
Available.
It was done. That means we have an issue with maintenance. When this construction for the national stadium and the swimming complex is finished, who will maintain the stadium?
Not the people who maintain government buildings. Not them.
So in the next 10 years, we back to square one again?
Of course. And you could see it.
Or should I ask that question or is we preempting everything?
No, I don't want anybody to, how could you say that? And you ain't even giving them a chance. We are actively watching two situations right now. One, the baseball stadium that was initially slated to cost, what, $10 million?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen a public discussion or presentation on the final cost.
I'm almost sure it's 30 million. I was almost sure they said 30 million. It just tripled. It trebled in price.
But you and I were on this radio months ago talking about estimated figures far beyond 30 million. I don't even want to tolerate the suggestion that it's only 30 million, man.
Mm.
We are speaking about a stadium that needs to be repaired 12 years after it was built. Not just put some paint on it, you know, not just fix a couple steps.
It's falling apart.
It's falling apart. It requires the minister's rough estimation. It could cost more than $10 million. We don't know. I don't have a true value. They're responsible for the entity.
Mm-hmm.
I just say shut the whole thing down. We don't need a sports in paradise platform.
Mm.
Not if this is what it's going to cost. We cannot afford it.
Of course we can afford it. What you mean, sport is important.
Mr. Newry, hear what you said. They took out a loan for $10 million, and the minister is quoted as saying, that's what the $10 million was allocated for. However, the Chinese government is going to be covering it. So the Bahamas may not use any of its $10 million, and the Chinese government may end up funding the entire repairs, which is what most likely will happen. See, I could ask the question. See, I could make an assessment. If I had access to the declarations and the public disclosures, I could say, do they manage their own money in this fashion?
I just don't like the idea of may. Come to us with, this is what's going to happen. I'm uneasy with this may. Because surely we've been speaking with the Chinese government, the ambassador, for a while regarding the sports complex. So either they're going to do it or they're not going to do it. And they offered. They offered to do it. And I think it was an issue of negotiating how much.
You know why I don't have a husband?
Why you don't?
Because I overheard one conversation one night where the man tell his wife, I may come home tonight. And I knew right away that there was something wrong there. What do you mean you may come home tonight?
Stop judging us, man. Let's go to the caller. Stop it.
May.
Just stop it. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Newry. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Ms. Green, I love the last joke. I like to listen to you, you know?
Yes, sir.
Great thinking. See you, Newry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to be, I like the jokes. But the thing is, a question here. Which is more important, healthcare or the stadium? You know, sports is great, right? But it's still trivial. It's good to be in shape, personally, versus the sports and the glamour of it. You know, I like sports, et cetera. But I thought healthcare would have come before that. So if we have the money for this, we should have the money for that. Now, this is an open line, and so I'm vexed about the human journey. So sometimes it's good for me to express myself to keep my sanity through all of this BS, right?
Go ahead.
The politicians, they haven't realized what the message of Obi's death is. They haven't learned anything from Obi's death.
Let me pause you right there and ask you a question. What is the message? What is the message you're trying to say?
Well, I can leave that up to them, but I would like to comment on something else. I said they should have learned something from Obi's death. I've said it over and over on the radio. I've been saying it for a while, but I don't want to get into that. What I want to touch on is the selective human rights conversations that goes on and the injustices. And so there was a clip circulating around on social media in which there was a gentleman downtown, I think just south of the port. He was already subdued or whatever. I didn't notice a handcuff, but he was already subdued, and he was in agreement with the police, and the police officers kicked him in his face on camera. So I'm trying to find out, where's the uproar? And I'm telling the public now, if that was a Haitian, you would hear a big talk about it. We don't love one another, and I'm trying to find out if that moron or barbarian is still on the force, because there was no reason for that. And if it was me, then they would have to gang me, because I was going to have to fight with him, because there's no way in hell, in Gaza, you can tell me there was any reason to kick that gentleman. So what I'm saying is, why are we not appalled at something like that? Okay?
I can tell you why, 52, because ain't nobody send me the clip.
And but I thought you should have seen it, but I didn't hear nobody in the media spoke about it.
I thought I should have seen it too.
This is really ridiculous. This is inglorious. That is a human being. And so what I'm saying is, these guys are breeding and manufacturing hate and contempt for the entity that they need to rely on reciprocally for reciprocity as far as it comes to exchanging information and having respect for one another. But if it was a white tourist and he might have just slapped the police, he mightn't have done that. This is what we saw with the Barefoot Bandit and whatever. I'm just trying to be quite candid here. And this is what it is, man. This nation is pathetic. See you, Nui. I'll answer that another day, but you should know what the message is that we should have learned from Obi Death.
I know.
I've said it on the radio. But like I said, there's a book called The Denial of Death. And pomp and pageantry won't save any of us. That's what I'm saying. Give thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mr. Nui, why you didn't send me the clip, man?
I can send you the clip. I thought you saw that. But I'll send you.
Look here. I just assume y'all trying to help me manage my blood pressure by not inundating my phone.
You just get emotional
with the madness. No, we are emotional beings.
You get more emotional.
I just manage my emotionally, and that makes some people uncomfortable.
Where I'm more calm, and I don't want to be emotional on the radio.
Send me the thing, man.
I'll send you the thing. It was a violent kick the police did. The man was on the ground on Bay Street proper. And apparently they said they found a weapon on him. There's two persons. And he had his hand behind his back. The police was going back and forth, and the police came up and just kicked him right in his face. Just kick him. Hard kick, though. Hard kick. But that's what it is.
See, because then we could ask the question, do you think the officers have learned a lesson from the Marathon at Mall incident where the young man...
But if you find gun on somebody, sometime you might have to kick them.
No.
No? You don't kick them if you find gun on them?
No, Mr. Nuri.
When did you
Why would you increase the chances of them getting off the charge for inappropriate behavior, misconduct by a police officer?
It was when only inappropriate because the person recorded them.
But no,
if we did see them before being recorded,
is inappropriate.
We would have waited until he was in the car, and then you wouldn't see that.
Is inappropriate because it happened.
Yeah. We have another caller there, but I want to talk about Perry Christie, the Right Honorable Perry Christie, because he's given opinions, and I want to discuss his opinions and where this opinion is valid. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Producer, pass that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Aaron, I got your name right this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning,
sir. I didn't call you Robin.
That's all right, because people may think I'm a thief. I'm a procurement specialist, sir.
Listen, I see another situation that we are not talking about.
Yes, sir.
The other day when they started the Hilton, they were able to find people here without, we didn't know the date they were going to start. But they had people here, unbeknownst to us, to start. If you go look up there at the Hilton, all you see are foreigners. Now, here we go again with the stadium. And the Chinese seem to be, they're going to have some input in labor. So you mean now we got some Chinese stash here somewhere? Who they are, or once they start the thing, they'll show up? How much people we got stashed here that know more about what is happening than we do?
Oh, that's
all they can find is labor anytime they're ready. I don't know if y'all noticed that. And we don't know. Because with the Hilton, we didn't know they were going to start the 1st of October until they announced the people that who bought the Hilton. And if you go look out there now, they got a bunch of foreigners working out there. So the government is also a part of this immigration problem. They're allowing them to stash people here.
Otherwise, they're
going to have to fly people all the way from China.
The government will tell you that the government has the authority.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate it.
The government has the authority to recategorize a work permit at any moment in time. I'm sure that's what they're going to say.
And that is the truth. And we must understand that with the labor comes the equipment, all coming on the same boat. So there's no need to stash anyone. We'll see them come by plane. We saw them when they came by plane. We saw they processed the work permit. I know we have like conspiracy theories, but no, that doesn't make no sense. But let's talk about Perry Christie.
See, we can talk about Perry Christie. Let me just make this quick point.
Go make the quick point.
We could have shut this conversation down, mm-hmm. but for the Keith Bell conversation and the lack of clarity
mm-hmm.
on the resolution to the matter.
They then tried for Keith Bell, man. Why are you still talking about Keith Bell? He ain't working at immigration no more.
I'm talking about the Keith Bell matter. Immigration still exists.
Yeah.
That still exists. That didn't disappear. The fact that he was moved to a ministry doesn't mean that the issue never happened. It never occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the matter was magically resolved because he moved to another ministry. And all I'm saying is, we can move on. All I'm saying is that you wouldn't have this speculation and demand for intervention if that matter had been resolved appropriately.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
So let's read the article with Perry Christie.
All right. In the top fold of today's Guardian, the headline, Christie, Gibson has right to seek nomination. Former PM disagrees with party's position on the matter. Former Prime Minister Perry Christie said yesterday he disagrees with the decision of the PLP to only consider those who applied for the West Grand Bahama and Bimini nomination ahead of the 2021 general election as potential candidates to represent the party in the upcoming by-election. Former Member of Parliament Obi Wilchcombe died unexpectedly on September 25th at the age of 64. Resulting in the seat becoming vacant. Despite letters from some PLP branch executives in support of the nomination of former Golden Gates Representative Shane Gibson, I got something to say, stick a pin. PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell has maintained that no former MP will be nominated. We're going to go to page 6. Mitchell said only those who offered for the nomination ahead of the 2021 general election will be considered. But Christie said he does not believe that is the best approach. Quote, right now, based on what the party is saying, he is not under consideration, he said outside the House of Assembly where Wilchcombe lies in state. And the only people who are under consideration are the persons who applied in the last election for that seat. That is the present position of the party. Now, I disagree with that position, but that is the position. Christie also said, quote, in a democracy, any one of my colleagues who wants to run, I applaud them for wanting to do what they have to do. And Shane is no different, and we will see what we have to see. I think the party has taken a position on the matter, and it's not for me as a former leader of the party to enter into the public arena in any position at this moment in opposition to what the party is doing.
That's he just did that. Why the double? Well, he always talking double talk, though. But why the double talk?
What he was talking about just before this?
But I there's no need
to. Because is it not the same thing?
No need to finish. Let me analyze, because I know you want to mention another point, but let me analyze this. Perry Christie is a two-term prime minister, right? The first term when he was prime minister, the PLP did an analysis. And they blamed Perry Christie for the loss. They said poor managing of...
The PLP did an analysis. The PLP blamed Perry.
Blame Mr. Christie, saying that because of his managing of his team, because of mismanagement, that's what the analysis said. Then when he had the second term, they blamed him again.
Hold on, so the team accused him of mismanaging them in the report, saying that he failed.
Yes.
Okay.
And they again blamed him for not taking control of his cabinet. Said one or two of them should have been shuffled, fired, or whatever it is. Especially them said who's borrowing or who's asking foreign investors to get contracts for his daddy and thing.
For family members.
Can't say daddy?
Because there's more than one.
Okay.
And if we say family members, then we capture a gamut.
Gamut. Yeah. Like that. And he allowed them to run. Of course, they lost miserably again, twice. Right? Mm-hmm. So that as the backdrop, knowing that he has failed twice, two times, right? For and being silent.
That's where he was leading me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
Saying instead of managing his team properly.
Yeah.
Right? He now is critiquing an administration who said, now we will manage our team. We're doing everything completely contrary to what Perry Christie did before because he was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling that no, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do it my old failure way. Should we listen to the likes of Perry Christian.
My thing. At no point in time, and I know we didn't continue throughout the article, and I know there's another article, I think, in the Tribune addressing this. I didn't hear the Prime Minister or see the Prime Minister quote the PLP Constitution, which he should be intimately familiar with, right?
He should have quoted.
And should be guiding this entire process.
Mm-hmm. Instead of giving his opinion.
Right, because here's
my... The Constitution says this.
Right, here's my thing. How can you govern the country according to the Constitution if you don't govern your own party according to your party's Constitution?
This is a gentleman who didn't use his constituency money and tell someone else, say, hey, I'm taking the whole thing. He said, no. Give me 2 more days. I can try spend $100,000 within 2 days.
Is it possible he was spending his own money or other people's money as opposed to my taxpayer dollars?
Anything is possible in the Bahamas.
All right. I understand. The thing I wanted to mention, because this conversation sort of started, we were talking day before yesterday.
Yes, day before yesterday.
About, and you asked the question, well, what has
Mr. Shane Gibson done in his constituency?
Right. And so I got word back, and here is, they had an annual fun run walk health fair.
And this is Shane Gibson's constituency of Golden Gate.
Right, here we go. Someone shared with me a PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to list some of the things on it. They had a computer lab. They had the Golden Gates marching band. They had the Mother's Day gift giveaway, the annual children's Christmas party, the annual Christmas toy giveaway, the Spark on the Park meet and greet, skills bank, that's cool, spiritual counseling, visitations to area churches, Father's Day gift giveaway, annual back-to-school supply giveaway, annual back-to-school children's party, park refurbishment, homework assistance, Golden Gates Scholarship Fund, I am going to throw Golden Gates Community Center, and a computer lab in there as well.
Yeah.
There's also specific tutoring assistance for BJC and BGCSE exams.
So we stand correct. And now we see there's a list of things that the former minister has done in his constituency.
Yeah.
And something that West Grand Bahama and Bimini can look forward to. That he has a record. He has a record of doing things.
Right. And this is what's driven the people in those communities to demand his representation.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break here as we continue to analyze the news. This is Guardian Radio AM. Of course, I'm here with Aaron Green. We're going through some highlights of what's in the newspaper and just delving into it and analyzing it. We will be right back.
Salmanac Consultants pride themselves on offering multiple services. At Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an X-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
It's the Battle of the Bras, sponsored by Canoe. And you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song.
And welcome back to Guyan Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and of course I have Aaron Green with me. We are analyzing the news. It's Open Line Thursday, and we're going to discuss Fred Mitchell. Right? Frederick Mitchell. When I said discuss Frederick Mitchell, I got a voice note, a beautiful voice note, explaining to us, the Bahamian people, why they are pushing to have a new generation of PLPs take the helm at the West, Grand Bahama, and Bimini. And I see that voice note has got credence or legs and now is inside the newspaper. And I wanted to put that in the record in case someone, no one listened to it or get to hear it.
Or they don't get it because they're not a part of the clique.
Yes. So, Aaron, read that so we can analyze one or two pieces of that.
Today's Guardian headline, Mitchell, former public figures must know when to move on. Just pause for the irony.
I wonder who is he talking about, though. But go ahead.
PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell said yesterday it is important for former public figures to recognize when it's time to move on. Mitchell did not name anyone in particular, but his comment came in the context of the jockeying that is taking place behind the scenes for the PLP's nomination for the West Grand Bahama and Bimini by-election, necessitated by the death of the constituency's member, Mr. Wilchcombe. Former Cabinet Minister Shane Gibson, who represented Golden Gates, a New Providence constituency, has said he would accept a nomination if one is offered, but Mitchell has said only those previously considered for nomination will be considered. When each candidate for the party was taken through the module for candidates, and we've also explained this to our branch leadership. You mean the one where you all taught them about public disclosures?
The branch leadership is up in arms, though. But go ahead.
That's why I made the point, because we know one element of the teaching program that failed.
No. This is the constituency branch, not the people who are member of parliament.
When each candidate for the party was taken through the module for candidates,
that part
failed. And yes. So I could understand why the branch leaders may be miseducated, uneducated, or ignorant, because the training failed.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Finish reading that.
And we've also explained this is our branch leadership, the nature of the party, the nature of public leadership. It requires you to have a certain mental stability, the ability to hold your tongue and to keep your own counsel, he said in a voice note. Did he play the song by Kenny Rogers? Quote, sometimes it's better to be quiet. That is still a lesson for today, unless you're a public official. In which case, you volunteered to speak to the people. Back to the letter. Quote, sometimes it's better to be quiet. That is still a lesson for today. There are plenty of examples in public life at home and abroad of public figures who find themselves...
Pause. I would like you to acknowledge the example that was cited. I want you to analyze that. You choose examples to make a point. Go ahead.
There are plenty of examples in public life, home and abroad, of public figures who find themselves in unfortunate situations. Quote, Sidney Poitier once told me that as a public figure, you have to be able to make a sound judgment about what your image is and adjust your sales to that image. And as a public figure or former public figure, you have to have a sense of when it is time to sail into the sunset and be done. You know, if he had said your principles, like you have to be able to make a sound judgment about what your principles are and adjust your sales to your principles. But he said image. And the minister quoted that. Okay, cool. And as a public figure or former public figure, you have to have a sense of when it is time to sail into the sunset and be done. close quotes. Mitchell said there are, quote, plenty of examples of life after public office. One example is that of John Profumo, who was forced to resign in 1961 from the British government because he was caught in an illicit relationship.
He was caught.
Why did he use that example? Is that relevant to the Bahamas?
I just saying that he said the person was caught doing something not nice.
Quote, he was disgraced publicly and had to resign, but went on to assist in charity work and ultimately was rehabilitated by Queen Elizabeth II with a national honor. Okay, pause. There's a whole bunch of problems.
No, but we have
the queen can't rehabilitate you. You only your own behavior could.
My queen can rehabilitate anybody.
Why does a politician think that they could rehabilitate
the queen
anybody?
Can rehabilitate people. But I want you to pause for a minute. Let's go to the caller because we're getting ready to leave there. Producer, fast that caller through,
queen
please.
Queen can't resurrect herself. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead. Okay, we're running out of time. Quickly, end that, Aaron.
Mitchell said, he was disgraced. Politics is often a matter of luck, a fortuitous business. We who are on the national stage should be thinking of the examples of those we honored over these past few days. Their selflessness and saying, like Horace Mann, the American educator, this thing to ourselves, how can I do something before I die to help humanity?
Go and help humanity. That's the gist of it. Stop jockeying for power and go help people. Anyway, that's the music. We got to go to the break.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.